Right. What else? I think that's all the announcements I've got. Actually, you know what? This Sunday is also everybody changes grades from Sunday school. At least everybody moves up a grade. So that'll happen this Sunday. We also have a missionary from Fiji this Sunday. And there you go. All right, 2 Chronicles. We are going to talk about a king this evening, king of Judah. His name is Asa. And he is, there's some life lessons in Asa's record here. His life covers 3 chapters in Chronicles, and we're definitely not going to read 3 chapters. But we are going to hit some high points and try to learn some things about the Lord, try to learn some things about faith, try to learn some things about, I don't want to give away the whole thing, but try to learn some lessons here. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Just read a couple of verses to get us kicked off. Verse 1 says, "So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. In his days the land was quiet 10 years. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and brake down the images and cut down the groves and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment." Pay attention to that phrase, seek the Lord God. Because that phrase is going to show up multiple times in the next 3 chapters. And that seems to be the thing that the Lord wants to get across in Asa's life. Verse 5 says, "Also he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest. And he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities, make about them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us, because we have sought," there it is, "because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side." So they built and prospered. Let's pray and talk about Asa's life and learn some things from him. Father, I thank you for each soul that's here this evening and those that are watching. I pray you bless those that are watching. I do lift up folks that are sick. There just seems to be so many. I pray that you would heal up their bodies, give them the treatments they need. It may not necessarily be COVID, but just seem like a lot of folks are sick. I pray that you'd get them the treatments that they need and the help that they need. Give them grace. And for those that are traveling, I pray you'd get them home safe. And thank you again for these words. I pray you'd help me, fill me with your Holy Spirit to preach these chapters here and just kind of boil them down to what it is we can take home tonight. Lift up Alan and Denise, that you give them grace and through this week, and lift up Alan, that you'd fill him with your Holy Spirit to preach Saturday. And I thank you for him, and I pray that you'd help him this week. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so Asa takes over as king. Land has rest for some years. Asa does, the Bible says, he does good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He takes away altars and strange gods and knocks all that stuff down and tells Judah, it's time to seek the Lord. And so, you know, it's got to be a big deal when a king like this starts to destroy altars and gods and strange gods and false gods out of a nation, you know, that affects people's income, that affects people's lives, that affects people's behavior, and it's got to make some people mad, but Asa does it, and so he seeks the Lord. He tells Judah to seek the Lord, and he seems to be doing everything right. And the Lord blesses and gives peace to the land for 10 years, the Bible says. And he strengthens the cities in those years. He builds walls around some of the cities in Judah. And Asa is the king over Judah. Keep that in mind. He's king over Judah. So he puts up walls. He just fortifies everything in Judah. And he has a great, great army as well. And then in verse 9, there comes an enemy. The Ethiopians start showing up, and their army is much bigger. Their army is a million people. And you see that in verse 9. There came out against Zerah the Ethiopian with a host of 1,000,000. 300 chariots came unto Maresha. And so Asa faces this enormous army after some peace and quiet in the land. He faces this enormous army, but again, he seeks the Lord. It says in verse 11, Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. And in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. And the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. So Asa, he is doing good. He really is. He's calling out to the Lord. He seeks the Lord's help. And in doing all that, he's getting rid of false gods. He's getting rid of idols. He's getting rid of all the garbage that's in Judah. And the Lord is continually blessing his reign and prospering him and all those kinds of things. And you'll see that phrase show up. He seeks the Lord. He tells Judah to seek the Lord over and over and over. And so when the Ethiopians show up, they want to fight against Asa. And he cries out to God. And the Lord answers, and they drive the Ethiopians back to Ethiopia. And not only that, they take spoils from them, and they take things out of the war there. And so Asa, he's off to a great start. He's off to a great start. And for those of you guys who just came in, 2 Chronicles chapter 14 is where we're at. Now we're in 2 Chronicles 15. First chapter of Asa's reign, 2 Chronicles 14. Then in 2 Chronicles 15, the Lord moves the preacher to encourage Asa. Look in verse 1, 2 Chronicles 15, 1. The Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you. Now watch this. Remember the seeking him in the last chapter, how he sought out the Lord, and he told Judah to seek the Lord, and he said, Lord, we rely on you, and if you don't do this, we're without help, but you can help, whether the army is big or small, you can help, and the Lord does. Now in chapter 15, this preacher shows up, and he encourages Asa. He says in verse 2, about halfway through the verse, the Lord is with you while ye be with him. And here it is again, if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. That's the principle there. Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, there it is again, they sought him, he was found of them. You see that over and over in these chapters. Seek the Lord. They sought the Lord. They sought the Lord. The preacher shows up and says, if you seek the Lord, he'll be found of you. But if you don't seek the Lord, he won't be found of you. And so there's there's these troublous times now around the nation of Israel, or around Judah. In verse 5, there's trouble. And at the encouragement of this preacher, Asa continues now to remove idols from the nation. Verse 7, be ye strong therefore, let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all of the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. You know, again, and when a king starts taking down idols and tearing down what people believe in and trust in, well, you know that's going to cause a problem with some people. You know there's money attached to it. You know there's economy attached to that stuff. There's businesses attached to these idols. There's people's parents and grandparents attached to these idols, and it's going to be a struggle. But Asa does it. The preacher comes in and encourages Asa. He takes out all the idols from Judah, and not only that, he goes further north, and the cities, the capital city of the northern tribes in Ephraim, there, he takes out those idols. Which is that was a big deal. That's going to be a really big deal, because that was a hub of idolatry. I mean, that's like, can you imagine somebody going to, I don't know, going to Mecca and turning over the stone over there, that big black box over there? And I mean, that would ruin people's lives, at least in their mind. I mean, it would ruin people's lives. Or what about, I don't know, Americans got gods. We got gods that, I don't know, sometimes we got gods that we drive around. We got gods that we that we pull behind our trucks. And we got gods that, you know, when people start getting rid of gods, it's a big deal. And Asa is encouraged by the preacher. He continues his cleansing of the nation, and he's encouraged, even though there's now trouble all around Judah. There's perilous things going on. And so he gathers all of Judah in verse 9. The Bible says he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon. For they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. So his leadership now is encouraging these what used to be idolaters to start to follow Asa's lead. He's a strong leader. He is doing God's work, and God's blessing him. And these people see this and they say, we want to be a part of what you're doing, because we can clearly see God's with you. He is blessing what you're doing. So they gather themselves together at Jerusalem, the Bible says, and they make an offering and all that kind of stuff. And verse 12, look at this phrase again. Here it shows up yet again. And they entered into a covenant to do what? Seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death. Wow, that's... It becomes capital punishment. It becomes a crime not to seek out God, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting, with trumpets, with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire. And he was found of them. And the Lord gave them rest round about. Look, I mean, again, seeking the Lord is found of him, and he gives him rest. And Asa's leadership is just tremendous in its courage and boldness to clean house, clean Judah out of the idolatry, and to turn people's faces back to God. And the people gather together, they make an offering, they make a covenant. And they say, we want so much to seek God at this point that it, we're going to make it a crime if you don't. And furthermore, that the Bible says they swore with their whole heart, their whole desire, and the Lord looked down on that whole nation, and he said, yes, I will be found of this nation. And he shows up, he gives them rest, and notice this. This is the character of Asa. Verse 16, he even deals with his mother. And also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa, the king, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. This stuff had affected the family. And Asa wasn't going to have any of it. She had made an idol in a grove. Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burnt it at the brook Kidron. But the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Not out of Israel, they were taken away out of Judah, but not Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. And he brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated and that he himself had dedicated. So he brings in more stuff to the Lord's house to dedicate. You don't have to go back to 1 Kings 15, but in 1 Kings 15, part of removing the idols, this is kind of interesting, but part of removing the idols and all of the false gods out of the nation, in 1 Kings 15, 12, part of removing that, the Bible says he removed all the Sodomites out of the nation. You'd have a hard time doing that in our country. But the Lord blessed that. And you read back there in 1 Kings 15, 12, he removes gods, he removes filth, he removes idols. He even deals with his mom's idol that she sort of set up, and I don't know if she tried to hide it from him or what, but he removes her from her being queen and takes away her position and destroys her little idolatry racket she's got going on. So he is he really deals with stuff. Even if it's close to home, he deals with stuff. Not just deals with it, he deals with things that are opposed to God in his own home. And when things are opposed to God in his country, he deals with it. Well, he's the king. That's his job. And when things are opposed to God in his home, he deals with them. And so the Lord continues to bless his life, bless his work, and bless his obedience, really. And so God gives Asa many years of peace. Many years of peace. The Bible says, last verse 19 there in chapter 15, and there was no more war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. Now, now it gets a little bit more interesting. After 35 years of cleaning house, of taking out idols, of taking down things that oppose God and his country, the Lord blesses, the Lord blesses, the Lord gives him peace, the Lord keeps the enemies at bay. And so now, I don't know how many years, maybe 20, 25 years have passed, and he's king, and he hasn't seen any war. Just imagine, we're not going to read it yet, but just imagine, and you don't have to imagine much, but in human nature, you got nothing to fight for 25 years. You have no mission. I mean, God has taken care of you for 25 years now. And you haven't seen war. You've been blessed and blessed and blessed. And then something pops up. Chapter 16, verse 1. In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to the king, to Asa, king of Judah. So now the king of Israel, the northern tribes, comes down. Asa's been king for 35 years in Judah, and he's done a great job as king. Now this king in Israel is kind of a new king, and he thinks, you know what, I'm going to take a shot at this king. And so he comes down and he fortifies the city of Ramah, and the idea is he's going to prevent supplies. He's going to prevent, he's basically going to strangle Asa and Jerusalem, and he's going to capture it for himself. That's his idea. So Asa does something that he hadn't done before. You remember all of those mentionings of sought the Lord, sought the Lord, sought the Lord, he sought the Lord. Well, he hadn't had a battle in 25 years. And now, he's facing an enemy. Verse 2 says, then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, there's a league between me and thee as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa, and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel, and they smote Ijon and Dan and Abel-Maim and all the store cities of Naphtali. It came to pass when Baasha heard it, that he left off building of Ramah, and he let his work cease. Then Asa the king took all of Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha was building, and he built therewith Geba and Mizpah. So much for seeking the Lord. Now, you may not find that. It looks like Asa is successful, and he is successful. He makes a deal with the king of Syria and says, hey, I'm going to give you money. And he takes silver and gold out of the house of God. And he pays the king of Syria and says, I want you to take this treasure, and I want you to break your agreement with the king of Israel, with Baasha, and I want you to attack him instead and make him leave Ramah. And so Ben-Hadad gets all that treasure, and he says, okay, I'll do it. And he goes down to Ramah and some of the cities of the northern tribes, and he just wipes them out. And he goes down to Ramah, and he does such a good job of doing that that Baasha, the king of Israel, stops attacking Asa. Baasha turns around, and he heads back home. And so in those first few verses, it looks like Asa's plan has worked. And this is one of the most dangerous, one of the most dangerous places a person can be now. Because he has found success without God. He found success, and God is not playing a part in any of the success. And you look back on what Asa's done now, and it looks like, you know, he made a wise military decision. That might be my interpretation. That might be your interpretation. He makes this strategic decision to call the king of Syria, to pay off the king of Syria, so the king of Syria will help. And it looks like a very strategic thing to do. But God's perspective is much different. He's told you for two chapters now, and he's highlighted this phrase, they sought the Lord God, they sought the Lord God, they sought the Lord God. If you seek God, he'll be found. If you seek God, he'll be found of you. If you seek God, he'll be found of you. And now Asa's in trouble, and what phrase is missing from his strategy is, he never sought God. But the danger is, his strategy worked. He was successful in what he did. And that's one of the most dangerous places to find success without God. You try convincing somebody who has found success without God that they need God, good luck with that. What do I need God for? Hey, I'm happy in my relationships. I'm good. I got money in the bank. I've got food in the fridge. What do I need God for? Now watch how Asa's life just completely turns around. Verse 7 in chapter 16. At that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah. These preachers keep showing up. And said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. Here's the principle. Here's a life lesson. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. That's what God's looking for. He is looking for someone who is weak and looking for God's help. And God wants to find that person so he can show himself strong to them. Verse 9, herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. Here's a life lesson here. Asa relies on man to help him. And man was successful. The king of Syria was successful in what he did. The problem is, when you rely on man, eventually, you're going to have problems. Remember those, it seems to be a recurring theme all throughout the Bible. You either trust in man or you trust in God. You're either looking for the praise of men or you're looking for the praise of God. And that seems to be the duality there. This preacher shows up and says, because you've relied on the king of Syria and not on God, the king of Syria is not going to be able to prevent wars in your lifetime. He's not going to be able to do everything that God did. He was successful in this campaign. But before you read on, can you imagine trying to tell someone after they've had success with the Lord, after they've trusted God and seen victory in their life, and now that they've had years of blessing, and now a preacher shows up and says, because you've relied on man, now God's not in it anymore. What do you think if I stood up here and told people who have been Christians for 30 years and said, hey, God's not with you anymore. You know what that does to somebody? Just think about it. How dare you tell me that? I have watched God produce victory after victory in my life. How can you tell me God's not with me anymore? Now watch. Watch what Asa does. Verse 10, then Asa was wroth with the seer. He hates the preacher. Don't you dare tell me God's no longer with me. Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in a prison house. For he was in a rage. He's just this is emotions that are uncontrolled. Why? Because God has pinpointed a problem in Asa's life. But Asa's had victories. He's been blessed by God. How dare you tell me God's not with me? Send that preacher to jail. He's in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. He becomes a tyrant. This guy becomes a tyrant. Here's another little life lesson in this. Temptation is I hear this. Temptation is real. Now I say that to say, sometimes I think we look at the end of people's lives or decisions they're making right now, and we say, you know what? He was never. He must have never been with God. That's not true of Asa. Asa had God's help for two chapters that you just read. It's not true that now Asa's true colors are coming out. That's not true. Asa's true colors were in chapter 14 and 15. And now here's his true colors at this time in his life. The point is the temptations are real. And it's not just a matter of, well, it's just revealing who he really is. No. He was lulled to sleep in decades of peace. And then when the enemy came, he found success in a strategy. And then when someone showed up in his life and said, hey, you didn't rely on God, therefore God's no longer with you. He was off the handle mad. You say, well, that was Asa was, he was just always, you know, he never really believed God. That's not true. He had help from God for two chapters, and now he's been moved from that position in his life and that understanding of God now to a different one. It's not as good. He throws the preacher in jail. He oppresses the people. This guy becomes a tyrant. Verse 11, 2 Chronicles 16. And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last. Lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Watch the phrase. Yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. This guy got off track bad. And when he got off track, it really affected his life. And here's the biggest, I think, one of the biggest lessons from Asa's life that you and I could learn. A person that's seen victory from the Lord in their life, if one day they are tempted away, I mean, they've seen success with God, if one day there is something that comes between them and God, or they're tempted away from relying on God, and now they're finding success in a different area or something like that, that person is going to go, I mean, it looks like Asa, they're going to be worse off than some lost sinner. Asa hates the preaching now. Asa is so reviled by God that when he is dying in this disease, he refuses to call on the Lord. He keeps paying the physicians, he keeps going to the doctors, they keep giving him medicine, and he keeps dying, and he keeps dying. And the Lord makes a note. Remember all that stuff I said about seeking me for the last three chapters? Seek the Lord, seek the Lord, seek the Lord. Let me just tell you how Asa's life ends. He has this disease. Yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. That's not necessarily a statement that doctors are bad. The point is, he just didn't seek God anymore. He was done with God. How do you go from a man who is cleaning house in a nation and promoting godliness like very few kings before. How do you go from that man to a man at the end of his life who hates preaching? He hates the idea of relying on God. He refuses. As he's dying, he refuses to call on God. How do you get there? How do you get there? At one point in his life, loves God, serves God, doing good. And then he has blessings and years of peace, blessings. And then after a few years of peace, an enemy shows up. And in that little temptation there, he decides that, you know what, I got a good idea on how to handle this. Let me call Ben-Hadad, king of Syria there. Let me give him some treasure. Let me pay him off, and he'll come help me. And he does that, and he finds success in it. And then the preacher shows up and says, you remember how your whole life has been characterized by seeking God? And in this thing, you stop seeking God. And Asa says, how dare you tell me that? How dare you tell me that? Sends him to prison, starts persecuting people, and shortly after that, he finds himself sick. And the Lord makes a little note. Yet in his disease, he sought not the Lord, but to the physicians. A couple years later, he dies. Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 140th year of his reign. They buried him in his own sepulchers, which he had made for himself in the city of David, and laid him in the bed, which was filled with sweet odors and diverse kinds of spices prepared by the apothecary's art. They made a very great burning for him. There's a couple lessons in here which we've already talked about, but just to get a review of it. That idea and that truth of seeking the Lord, seek the Lord, seek the Lord, seek the Lord. And it's not just seek the Lord, you know, just when Asa sought the Lord, he got rid of other things. It wasn't just, oh God, help me. It was, I'm going to get rid of everything that's godless in this nation. That's how he sought the Lord. I'm going to get rid of all these things that oppose God. And we're going to turn our attention to God Almighty, and we're going to look to him for help. And Asa sought the Lord, and he sought the Lord, and he sought the Lord, and he was blessed, and he had rest, and he had rest, and he had rest, and he had no war until an enemy showed up. And he was tempted. And he was tempted in this fight. And after being at peace for decades, he decides, I don't know, maybe it was just a, I don't know how calculated it was, but he forgot to seek the Lord. And in that, in all that, boy, that decision, there are some decisions in your life that are life-changing decisions. They will define the rest of your life. You'll make a decision. Not all decisions are like this, but there are definitely some. There are some decisions that are absolutely life-changing decisions. That decision that Asa made in 2 Chronicles 16 was a life-changing decision. For the rest of his life, he is opposed to God. He hates anybody that represents God. Some of you that have been around this stuff for a while, around Bible believing, around Christianity, you've watched some people. And you've watched some people who did really, really well. And it was sincere. It wasn't like a show or anything. They did really, really well. And then something got in their life. Maybe it wasn't even a sin. It was just not seeking God anymore. And something got in there, and the end of their lives was much worse It's like, how could this person have ever been saved? Look what they're doing. Well, they're so hateful of God at this point. It's Asa. I guess there's two things to gather from all this. The Lord, number one, is looking for people who seek it. And he's looking to show himself strong to those people. He's trying to find people in the earth that seek him out. And the Bible says that preacher said, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro in the earth. And he's just trying to find somebody who will call on him, because he wants to show himself strong to them. The other lesson is much more depressing. That a man that was so wholeheartedly sold out for the Lord made a decision in his life to stop seeking God and stop seeking God's help. And just in that decision, it changed the rest of his life. The rest of his life. Be careful. Not all your decisions are going to be life-changing decisions, but some of them will. Some of them will affect you the rest of your life. As teenagers, as kids, you make decisions. I don't want to put all this necessarily on. I want you to think about it, though. Because you can make some decisions now that will affect the rest of your life for good. You can make decisions now that will affect the rest of your life for bad. Asa's an interesting guy. He starts off so well. But he forgets to seek God. There's no major sin. It's not like he's caught up in some terrible thing. He just stopped seeking God. And he found success. And then he got mad at anybody that told him, God's not with you anymore. He's not going to help you anymore. You're going to have war now. Get out of my palace. Go to jail. I don't want to hear the preaching. I don't want to hear this guy talk. Get him out of here. What a way to end his life. Some life lessons. 2 Chronicles 14, 15, 16. Seek the Lord, seek the Lord, seek the Lord, seek the Lord. And Asa sought not the Lord anymore. And that was the trouble. That was the trouble. Father, I pray it's been instructional. It's kind of a sad ending to a man's life, but it's a fair warning. People who know better, people who've experienced the blessings and power of God, stop seeking God. And it seems like a small thing. Just seems like a small thing, but it's not a small thing, because it affects our minds, it affects our hearts. Particularly if you find success in not seeking God, then you wonder what's the point anymore. Lord, I pray that we'd learn what we can learn from Asa's life. You clearly put it in here for instruction. I pray we'd seek you the way he sought you early on in his life, and you'd help us. Thank you for each soul that's here. Thank you for your words. Thank you for all that are watching online. I pray that you'd help them. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.